Okay, Mr. Shepherd is here for, first of all, I need you to introduce yourself. What is your name? And if you remember your ADC number, you can give it. If you don't remember it, I'll give it for you.
My name is Eric Lane Shepherd. My 8-20-45-43, maybe?
That's correct. Absolutely. Okay, well, we want to take this opportunity to welcome you to the Arizona Board of Executive Clemency, and you have petitioned the board for a pardon today, and we are delighted, and we do take note that you do have an attorney in the room to represent you. Therefore, when we ask you to speak, you can always yield to your attorney, therefore, because that's the reason that you have an attorney in the room. Therefore, we will listen to your attorney or to you, and if you have any supporters here, we will have your supporters to speak after you and your attorney has spoken. Then the board will go into discussion and will make a decision, and based upon that, we will move forward. I will point out the fact that since this is a pardon hearing, the board does not have the final word on that one. The final word on the pardons come from the governor. Therefore, what will happen if this board sees fit to make that recommendation to the governor, I will request one of the board members to draft a letter, which all of us will sign, and it will be submitted to the governor. If this board decides not to send a letter to the governor, then that will be the end of this hearing. So I just wanted to make sure that we all understood that we're all on the same page as it relates to what we are doing this morning. Okay. And again, I just want to take this opportunity, Mr. Shepherd, to welcome you. The board has had an opportunity to review your package, and each member has a copy of it, and each member has reviewed it, and I want to just take this opportunity. I think I'll just make a few comments, and then I'm going to just turn it over to you and just listen to you. But I'm just going to make a few comments, just a few observations that I have observed. And if I have any incorrect, you and your attorney can correct them, because sometimes the information is wrong in the package, sometimes in pre-sentence reports, even sometimes we find that Ames is not correct. So then sometimes we find that I just get them all mixed up. So if I say something that's not correct, please let me know. Based on information that I've gleaned from your application is that you have that your civil rights have been restored. That is from Mr. Shepherd. His civil rights has been restored. That he has the education program, and he has 16 years of education with a bachelor's degree from Arizona State University, which he received in 2012. He's currently self-employed, and he can tell us about that just a little later. And as a web designer, and so we also take note that the offense was aggravated DUI back in 2005, was a four months, and as well as probation for 3 years. We also take note that, as I've indicated, that this offense did take place November 23rd, 2005, an officer initiated a traffic stop on a vehicle with an expired registration, and it was driven by Mr. Shepherd, and the officer observed a glass pipe that was on the passenger side of the car, and the defendant, and there were some orders, alcohol also observed by the officer, and we also take note that Mr. Shepherd at that time was driving on a suspended license for a previous DUI, and we also take note that that some marijuana was found in the center console of the vehicle. He admitted that he had been drinking somewhere between 5 and 6 beers and 5 and 6 shots of tequila at a Thanksgiving party. And he had, and I'll just point out the fact that he had 3 prior convictions for driving under the influence. I believe that he pleaded guilty. The presumptive sentence would have been 2 to 5 years. 2.5 years. The minimum would have been 1.5 years. The maximum would have been 3 years. We do acknowledge the receipt of some letters of support that board members have had an opportunity to review, that he's very active in the community, and as much as he's volunteering, and a purpose that, one of the purposes that I saw was that the recognition that he is not the same person that he would have been at the time of the offenses, and that he completed his alcohol training from Dynamic Living, and that would have been in 2007. He completed that, and he did have a plea agreement. That's all I'm going to say, so correct anything that I said. But otherwise, just tell us anything that you want to tell us this morning or that your attorney wants to share with the board, and then the board will ask questions as they see fit.
Yes, it sounds about right, except I am employed now with the company V Digital Services. They hired me last July. I've been with them for the last 4 months now.
Okay, well, congratulations.
As a web developer. But everything you said, yes, sounds very correct. As of the offense that happened in 05. And with me nowadays, it's, I just work with this, do my side projects as self-employment for people designing websites and applications for businesses and personal. And that is what I do with this company as well. They're an agency side, so we build websites and apps for businesses and clients that they get, that the company gets. So, and that is where I moved on with my career, my education that I got from Arizona State in 2012. It started with a small media company, AZ Big Media, are known as Arizona Business and Development, and I've been able to further along my career, but I've been stuck in some places due to background checks and this DUI coming up, which has kind of stopped me from going higher than I would like to be or achieving my goals in the workforce.
So as it relates to one of the purposes that we would like to talk to you is that so that the board members can become familiar with you and kind of understand where you were and where you are, and therefore that's one reason that we go back to the offense itself or even before the offense took place itself, and that's the reason we go back. But we just want to get to know you, because if the board is going to send a letter to the governor, we really need to know you, because that's why we are here. But I'm just trying to understand, and from your perspective, you know, back in 2005 and even before 2005, how did you get stuck on alcohol, drinking alcohol? Because that seemed to have been a problem even before this offense that we're talking about. That seemed to have been a problem for you.
Yes.
How did you get involved in alcohol, sir?
It just dealt with, I'm a triplet, and I've always been, a lot of it came from being the outsider for my brothers at that age, and not knowing how to deal with that. And I turned to alcohol a lot when I was 22, 20, in those younger ages. And when I finally confronted my issues with them, and we kind of bonded closer together, which we do now, we talk daily, it's subsided from that. I've learned to, when get frustrated or have an issue, I've learned to express my thoughts about the issue rather than turning to alcohol and drinking it away, rather to forget about it.
Do you recall about how old you were when you started drinking, sir?
It's about 1920. It ended about 24, 25. After all this stuff I went through with this last DUI I got, and now live a sober life and work.
You know, and I know that we all make mistakes in life, and you were a young man at that time. In fact, you're still a young man. But why would you, your recollection where you were then and what you know now, why were you drinking and driving, sir?
I think it's when that happened, I was working in a bar as a bartender, late nights and around alcohol constantly. I've left the bar scene. I did that after this last one, and I've got a degree finally and moved on, but I tend to say a lot of it was because I was in a bar, bartending late nights, and everyone's always drinking in those industries.
Excuse me for asking this, because I've never worked in a bar, but I thought if you worked in a bar, you didn't drink.
A lot of people after, when you close the bar down, they drink after work and do late hours in the morning.
And so you started drinking because you was trying, these are my words, this is really a question, you was trying to impress or be an equal to your brothers, and that's one reason you started drinking?
They're identical and I'm fraternal, and they started working in the bar industry and actually got me a job into it. And so yes, it was the more of trying to impress and fit in with the crowd I was at, and it turned to the point to where, yeah, these DUIs really affected my life.
Were your brothers older or younger than you were?
No, triplets.
Triplets. Yeah. So, very interesting. Yeah. So I guess that was a little competition going on with your triplets. And, let me just ask one or two other questions, and I'll go to board members. When this incident took place, the offense itself, when it took place, your license was suspended. So why would you have even driven that time? I know you was coming from the Thanksgiving party or some kind of party, but why would you be driving on a suspended license, sir?
That happened when I first moved here. I didn't realize they didn't take my license away from me. They probably did send a letter in the mail saying it was suspended. And the state never took my physical license away, so I just assumed I would be able to drive at that time when I was 22. I didn't really know that my license was suspended when it happened until the cop told me, you're driving on a suspended license. And that is where the reason why I drove. If I would have known or would have probably read the paper from the DMV, the letter they probably sent me, which I didn't at that age. Because the other state I'm from, they take your license from you when it gets suspended, and down here, they don't physically take it from you. So that is why I chose to drive that night. And then I found out when it happened that it was suspended. The officer told me that. And, he put me under arrest, and we went from there. But it was probably just a young, dumb adolescent not really understanding the fact that for my last previous DUI, it was still suspended. That happened 6 months before this one.
Maybe I'll ask one of my colleagues a little later about that, that the license is suspended and they don't take them. I don't know. I haven't had that experience.
They don't
take them in Arizona. So when you say that you were not from Arizona, where were you from, sir?
Wyoming.
Okay. So things were a little different up in Wyoming. In addition to the weather being very cold up there in the winter, so things are a little different and related to license up in Wyoming as well. Okay. So you decided to go to school, go to university, ASU. What did you major in at ASU?
Business and computer science.
Okay. And you're using your computer science major to design websites and that type of thing. That's what you're doing now.
Yeah.
And what else is you doing in the community outside of your professional work? Charities or volunteer work or anything of that nature?
Yes, I've volunteered time Boys and Girls Club, that's what it was. Yes, the Boys and Girls Club, helping them with kids that, helping kids that don't have parents or have disabilities. And I've also donated, plenty of money and old clothes to the Salvation Army. I'm pretty active. I've gone to homeless shelters down here, and I've donated my time giving them food. And that's been about as active as I've been with this community besides just being a law-abiding citizen and working.
I guess this will be my final question. I should ask it later, but I'm going to head and ask it now, so I won't have to ask it later. If you were sitting where we're sitting, where the four of us are sitting today, and you were, knowing your record, and you were asked to draft a letter to the governor, what would you tell the governor of the state of Arizona why you should receive a pardon, sir?
I would let him know that, you know, even after my conviction in 2005 and going through all that, I've definitely been able to get this set aside. I would tell him of my accomplishments of getting a degree at ASU, holding three different jobs, being self-employed, following the laws, and that I'm just not being as reckless as I was back then, because I really believe it was just a reckless young adolescent coming into adulthood.
Okay. But before I go to board members, I'm going to ask you if your attorney want to have something at this time, or you want to wait until after we ask other board members have an opportunity to ask some questions.
I can wait until after you finish.
Okay. Well, now I'm going to see if other board members might have some questions for Mr. Shepherd. Honorable Mr. Cabanas.
Thank you, Mr. Board Chairman. I just have. Well, I'll begin by saying, as a former law enforcement officer, it's surprising that when you come out of the other end of that career, how many peers and as well as myself come out more compassionate, because we recognize in the case of many violations that there's lapse of judgment, there's maturity issues, there's mistakes, and of course there's a spectrum. There's some really awful things we have over here that aren't the same level, if you will. And I certainly have seen the pattern, people working in the bar establishments, the late night cycle, you know, like you don't drink on the job and people stay up, a lot of camaraderie. I've seen it before, and I certainly, as one voting board member, don't take a very self-righteous attitude. I know we have to make some hard decisions on behalf of the state of Arizona. And I do think you have quite a comeback story in terms of how that turned out in your early 20s, a time when I think people are still maturing. Of course, there is the business of drinking excessively in accidents, and I mean, we know how awful that can turn out. I think it's important to point out that regardless of how this board votes today, we can't expunge your criminal record. Pardons matter, I recognize that, but we can't expunge your criminal record. There's no mechanism for that in Arizona. So that being stated, you seem to have a good job now. Under your current circumstances, what is your record preventing you from in terms of advancement?
As advancement, I've applied to further up from my position, from lead web developer up onto the company, and I've gotten turned down because they have done a background check and they did see that there was an aggravated DUI there, which I thought was weird because when they hired me on, I thought they would have done that far of a background check in the first place. But they denied it from me because they said you have an ag DUI, and that I've only done that once, and that's the first time it's ever come back. A lot of places I do apply to, they don't check that far back. It's been 12 years since this happened. I think they go back 7. But when I did try to further up and get a higher position in the company, they did do another check on me, and they did farther back, and you know, I was just, they didn't promote me to it. Okay. That was with the last company, Arizona Business and Development, AZ Big Media. That was the company that I was with.
Okay, so the current company you're working for accepted you with a criminal history, but you can't advance in this organization?
No, that was the last one, AZB Media. That's why I left, because they denied me that. Right. This current one, I've been there for about 5 months, and it's a position I like as well, so.
Well, I've learned as a board member that pardons are a lot like, I often compare them to military awards. Meaning that there are people that certainly do serve and they do great things, but there's this above and beyond factor for when people receive awards. And that's not, I'm not telling you I'm going to vote. I'm just saying that please understand that there is an exceptional quality that we're looking for. But I do want to commend you for everything that you've accomplished.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you so much, Honorable Mr. Colonis. Any further questions from other board members? Yes, the Honorable Mr. Rittenhouse.
Mr. Shepherd, do you still drink?
No.
Not at all?
I haven't. Not at all. I can't. Maybe one, but that's about it. I'd be at dinner, be like a glass of wine with someone, but I don't go out and go to bars and get drunk like that anymore.
Okay. I'm just asking because, you know, I want to make sure that nothing like this happened again.
Yeah.
So. Okay.
All right.
Thank you.
Thank you so much, Honorable Ms. Rittenhouse. Honorable Mr. Neal, any questions, sir?
Well, one thing I noticed you kept referring to when you were charting the ag DUIs in your adolescents, but you were 22 years old and working in the bar and everything else, so it wasn't an adolescent problem. But I spent nearly 10 years as an accident reconstructionist, and yes, I take a good view on DUIs and everything because of the accidents I saw. But one thing that, and then irregardless of how the outcome here or something, is you need to realize that, you know, your attorney said there was no victim, which you're lucky that a police officer caught you before you had a chance to create a lot of victims. And a lot of people that have DUIs, because they didn't have the accident to culminate their drinking, don't really think of it from that aspect. But if you've been, you know, since you're out, you haven't been drinking other than the social drinking, I commend you for that. But yeah, you were a full adult when this happened. But the other thing is, like Mr. Kwan said, the pardon won't expunge your record. And any background check that they do deeply will still show this no matter what we vote today. And of course, we only vote to one, we'll send it forward to the governor. So it's, you know, it is a process. But yes, I do commend you for your great work since you had your problem. You know, you developed into a much better young man than you would have been.
Yeah, thank you.
Thank you so much, Honorable Mr. Neil, do you have any supporters, sir, that here today to speak on your behalf?
Just her.
The attorney, okay.
All my family is, and a lot of my supporters are in Wyoming, Montana area.
So, do you have any relatives or here in the state of Arizona? Everybody else went back to Wyoming or stayed in Wyoming.
Yeah. No, I don't have any relatives here besides me. Everyone else is, yeah, Wyoming or Montana.
So how did you end up down here in Arizona?
We all came down for my brothers and I, when we graduated high school, all came down to a college here at ASU. After we all graduated, they went back up to Montana to start their own business. I stayed down here and started trying to further my career in web developing and computer science area.
It
worked pretty well for me, from what I would say.
Okay. Attorney, is there anything you want to share with us? We do have your letter, the package that you submitted, so you can have a seat, Mr. Shepherd, right here, we will...
You have my letter. I do,
First of all, please state your name for the record.
Good morning, my name's Courtney Sullivan, I'm here on behalf of Mr. Shepherd.
Thank you, Ms. Sullivan, and thanks so much for being the attorney, and welcome to the Arizona Board of Executive Premises.
Of course, thank you. And if you wouldn't mind, if I may approach the chairman, I actually have a letter that Mr. Shepherd wrote himself that I would like to share with all of you.
Thank you. Thank you so much.
And then I do have an extra, fairly extra, would you like to take that or something?
We've just revealed to Mr. Johnson, although he's not in the room and he won't be voting, but at least he'll have a full package.
Okay. What Mr. Shepherd already spoke about and a lot of what you guys have already covered really goes into what I presented to you in the letter that I wrote, but I did want to share an interesting perspective of my own. I'm primarily a criminal defense attorney, and so as you can imagine, I have a lot of cases involving DUIs, both at the misdemeanor level and at the aggravated level. And I will say, typically, and you shed some light on this as well, when you see someone who has had a couple of the misdemeanor DUIs and they're getting into an aggravated DUI once they hit that felony level, a lot of times, unfortunately, I have clients where I don't see the sort of hope for them to turn things around. They have a lot more underlying issues, things that drive them to drink more than just a social thing or something that they're doing for fun, for lack of a better term, when they're young. I will say that just from looking over Mr. Shepherd's information when I received his case earlier this summer, he has obviously gone above and beyond any expectations that, unfortunately I have for some of my clients that find themselves in those positions. We did touch on, obviously, he is lucky that no one was injured during this or any of the underlying misdemeanors as well. He did choose to take that experience as a wake-up call, and he has learned from that, and he has more or less used that as a motivation to propel himself to where he is today. And it's been 12 years since this aggravated DUI, a little longer obviously since his priors before that, and he has managed to make a complete turnaround. From what I see day in and day out, it's hard to keep that optimism sometimes in knowing that someone's going to go to the Department of Corrections and come out and, completely turn things around. It's so easy for people, and there are so many people that I worry about going in there and then coming out and falling right back into a cycle. They'll call us again a couple months later down the road. Unfortunately, we see that too often. So I am proud of the accomplishments that he's made, not just in, making a life for himself, even if he didn't have this past, the things that he's done that would be commendable at this point, but the fact that he had this, maybe a dark period in his life when he was a young adult. This all was taking place at the age where he should have been going to college, completing college, and getting ready to move forward, but, he chose to get through this part and then start where he should have been and keep going. He didn't let it stop him. And I understand, obviously, and he understands that receiving a pardon for this would only, as you said, show that it would sort of be like an honor for him. And I do believe, from what I've seen with Mr. Shepherd and from what we've presented to you, that he does deserve at least a commendation for the achievements he's made. And I don't see anything in the way that he is or the way that his lifestyle is now that would leave me, even me, with seeing what I've seen, to believe that I would ever see him again. I would obviously like to keep in contact, but I wouldn't like to see him again in my professional capacity. So I'll just say, based on all of that and everything that we've already presented to you and everything you've already heard from Mr. Shepherd and read in those materials, that I would absolutely recommend that you vote in favor for him to receive a pardon.
Okay. Questions, board members? Yes, Member Mr. Gomez.
Just for clarification, did your client serve any incarceration? Or was it all probation? Oh, it is formal. I saw that in the record, but then I saw some suspension, and it seemed to kind of meander. So I wanted to, I wasn't quite sure if you actually spent any time inside.
And
the
obviously, at the time that this occurred, I was in high school. But I believe a lot of times now, when we have an aggravated DUI, if it's a first offense aggravated DUI, they will do probation with an initial term of Department of Correction, which is typically 4 to 6 months. So it sounds like that's what he did.
Okay. Thank you.
Okay. Well, thank you so very much. Any further questions for Ms. Sullivan, Honorable Attorney Sullivan? Okay. There are no further questions at this time. Please come back up, Mr. Shepherd, sir. And just for the record, state your name again. We just have to do that. That's just a preliminary thing that we have.
Eric William Shepherd.
Thank you, sir. Okay, Mr. Shepherd, let me just ask one or two more questions. You've given one reason, that, my recollection, the one reason why you feel it's important to get a pardon, and that is for professional growth. That's being a primary, one of the reasons. Aside from that, what are you looking for as a result, if this board saw fit to make a recommendation to the governor, and the governor would honor the recommendation from this board? And the reason I ask that question is, if I read the records correct, you have already been granted your civil rights here in the state of Arizona, which means that you have your gun rights. You, if you so choose to use them, you're able to vote. You have all of that. So, what else? Why is this so important? In as much as my distinguished colleagues have already pointed out correctly, so we cannot expunge, so it would not be expunged. That's going to be on your record for the rest of your life. And I think that that's one of the things that I like to say to young people before they make a mistake, because certain things just going to be there. You do it at a young age, like you did it at 22. Some others do it much younger. That's right, there for the rest of your life. And so I'm just, you know, anybody who wants to dig deep enough, they will find it. They're not going to erase it. In the state of Arizona, we don't expunge or erase it in the state of Arizona. So I guess my question is very simple, is what else have you, why else would you need a pardon from the governor? Because that is that's a high bar. You know, it's very, you know, unlike in some states, the governors, the last two governors, I want to speak for them, they've just not issued that many pardons. Just to be honest with you, and I'm not, that's not a criticism, that's just a fact of life. You know, it's not like in some states, you know, everybody who comes through, the governor, you know, issues a pardon, issues a pardon, and I'm not being critical of any state that does that. So I'm just asking, you know, what would you really be looking for in the future, aside from employment, that if you were given a pardon by the governor, sir, or granted a pardon by the governor?
Besides the employment factor, it would really... I can really feel like it's done and over with and set behind me. It'd be a sense of accomplishment for me to know that I was been doing well and the pardon came through. I would feel it more of a sense of accomplishment, and I wouldn't have to sit there and feel like, oh, it's haunting me as much. But like you guys have pointed out, it's always going to be there if someone digs deep enough. And that was a big reason of why I besides the employment of why that would happen. It's more of just an accomplishment. Like, I followed this the way the laws and everything and been a good citizen here, and I would feel, yeah, the sense of accomplishment that I've completed it and can just put it in the past for good.
Okay, sir. Board members, any further questions for Mr. Shepherd? Hearing no further questions from Mr. Shepherd. We're coming towards the end of your hearing, sir, but this is your hearing. We want to give you and or your attorney or both of you an opportunity to make a final statement to the board before the board goes into discussion, and following that discussion, make its determination whether to make a recommendation to the governor to grant a pardon for Mr. Shepherd or whether not to. So anything else you want to tell the board at this time, sir, without repeating yourself and or your attorney?
I would just be repeating what I've said. Do you have anything to say?
Do announcing him.
Let me get you to state your name again.
Courtney Sullivan.
Thank you, Mrs.
Without repeating anything that either of us have already said, I would just also emphasize the fact, I know you asked him about his future, and that may be something he doesn't even know yet. He's obviously a person to set goals and try to achieve goals. And, you know, he's recently started a new position, but from there, you know, the possibilities of where he could go are potentially endless, depending on what he wants to do. If he ever sees so fit to pursue a future, maybe going into politics or something like that, where he would need to have an exceptional record, or at least that showing that he has definitely presented himself as someone who's worthy of something more than what he has. I just want to make it known that he should have that opportunity. Thank you.
Well, thank you so very much. At this time, the board is going to go into discussion. It may sound as if we're talking to you, Mr. Shepherd, or to the attorney, but we're not. We're just talking among ourselves, the four of us. We'll be talking. This will be the first time that we, as a panel, will have had an opportunity to discuss your case, to discuss this hearing, because we do operate under the open meeting laws of the state of Arizona, and everything we do must be in the public. Therefore, we must sit here and discuss it, whether it's pleasing or not pleasing. That's the order of the day as it relates to the open meeting law, and we're going to do it. Neither one of us have discussed it as of this moment, each other. And that's something that we have to pride ourselves on, unlike in some other states like Ohio. We just left Ohio to observe. And it's a little different in each state, but here we are open to the public. And following this discussion, each board member will vote. And we vote right here while you're looking at us, but we vote independent of each other. We don't tell each other how to vote. We may debate, we may discuss, we may agree, we may disagree, but at the end of the day, we cast our vote, and that's become a matter of public record. So at this time, the board is going into discussion. Ask everyone to remain quiet. And is there any board member wish to lead off the discussion? Okay, no board member wishes to lead off the discussion. Well, I'm just going to make a few comments then, and then we'll go from there. And remember that I'm speaking only as one board member. I can't speak on behalf of the board. Each one of us, we have the same right. Okay, I wish, first of all, to commend Mr. Shepherd on his record. When I read this package, it's a very impressive package. He's made some real achievements over the years. But as I look back, you know, with his educational background, that he's done extremely well by receiving a degree from ASU. He's maintained employment. Apparently, he has expertise in web design so forth. Apparently, based on information that we've gleaned and that's come out this morning, is that he has been active in terms of the girls and boys clubs, as well as making other contributions to the community. However, I do see the boy as being very high when we make that recommendation, when this board makes a recommendation to the governor. And I think I'm always looking for, as one board member, once again, I'm not speaking on behalf of the board, I'm looking for something that's extraordinary before we make that recommendation to the governor. That's really, because this is something the boy has set quite high for that recommendation to go to the governor. And with that being said, I'm going to stop at this point and yield to other board members to see what they might want to offer at this time.
Thank you, Dr. Wright. I will say, too, that I recognize that we serve as a clemency board in a state that has a very high bar for pardons. And I do find Mr. Shepherd's accomplishments outstanding. In especially in completing his education, pursuing work, doing volunteer work. But again, I made the comparison, and again, this is just from my own standard, in understanding how we operate in the state of Arizona, that we're really looking for exceptional. And I guess what I'm trying to say is I see excellence. I'm not sure if it rises to the level of a document that the governor would sign, but I'm certainly open to the collective wisdom of my colleagues.
Do one of the colleagues wish to speak next? Sure. Yes, ma'am. The Honorable Ms. Rittenhouse.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Me and Reach come from our own backgrounds, and that's why we're on this panel. And I have a nephew who is about 2 months older than Mr. Shepherd. And my nephew, who's now a judge in the state of Ohio, was someone who matured a little later and did some really stupid things with his friends who were all younger. And yet, he's been able to figure it out and is now sitting on a bench in Ohio. I don't know, I see similar behavior in Mr. Shepherd. I think he's reached a point where he's come to his senses and said, I can't do that. That's not how life is. And I think he's made that change, even that realization. Come to that, you know, as to whether it's exceptional. You know, I'm also there. I'm not sure whether this is exceptional, but at the same time, I don't think we have to worry that Mr. Shepherd's going to ever do anything like this again. He does have a degree. He has a job. He's giving back to the community. He's gone to the step of having his civil rights restored. I mean, he seems like a person who is definitely heading in the right direction. So as for the exceptional, I'm afraid I'm still wavering on that one. Thank you, sir.
Thank you so very much, Honorable Mrs. Rittenhouse. Honorable Mr. Neal, you have anything you want to offer?
I don't think so, sir.
Okay, then I'm not going to make any further comments, I don't think. I think that we have to move forward. I am going to offer a motion, and it will be voted up or down. No board member has to second it. No board member has to even agree with it. But I am going to make a motion, and my motion is going to be, I'm just going to say once again, I was looking for that extraordinary. He's already been granted his civil rights, and I commend him for that. And however this board votes today, that is, whether it vote up or down, it does not mean that he should be disappointed, because he has done a great job, and I'm sure he will do a great job in the future. But whether we feel that we should to make that recommendation to the governor, the board will now vote. And my motion is going to be not to recommend to the governor. That is my motion.
Second. Agreed.
Okay, now,
I'll disagree.
Mr. Kawanish, you agreed. Mr. Neal, you seconded. Am I correct, sir?
Yes, sir.
And Ms. Rittenhouse disagrees, and by vote 3-1, a recommendation will not be provided to the governor. And I hope, as Mr. Kawanis can articulate much better than I can, I hope that you do not see this as a negative. I hope that you look at this as just another challenge, and I don't even see this as being a roadblock, because I think you can be anything that you want to be. I think that you can even go into politics, as that was raised earlier. Anything that you want to do, you can do it. It's just unfortunately, we do not expunge in the state of Arizona. Thank you so much for your participation. Mr. Sullivan, thank you so, Mr. Shepherd, thank you so much, distinguished attorney Sullivan, for coming this morning and for the information you presented to the board. Thank you, and the hearing is over.